We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We are on 12:50 in the Milwaukee area. Maybe you have us on the Odyssey app, which is the second greatest app of all time. The first, of course, being that app from like 2006 where you could take your phone and pretend to drink beer. Remember, it looked like beer, and if you tilted, it looked like you were drinking beer. That guy used to make like $20,000 a day in its heyday. I'm Bart Winkler. Nick Costos joining us, You Better You Bet, which is on the Odyssey app. Nick, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, Bart? How we doing?
Pretty bad. Pretty
yeah,
bad.
I understand. I feel you.
Yeah. And then my quarterback, they lose a game, and I'm like, I want to hear him talk about, like, how they could have won. And instead, he cares more about, like, the people that were rooting against him. And instead of the Packer fans that were rooting for him. So that's cool. He's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. But like, you know, I bet on the 49ers. I think I came on your show last week and I talked about that I like San Francisco a little bit. Not that I thought San Francisco was going to win. I actually wanted Green Bay to win a close game just because I think it's more entertaining with the Packers in, obviously, like with Rodgers in. It's more interesting. Look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know or that the fans don't know or that you haven't, I'm sure, talked about over the last 48 hours on the show, but I mean, that is really, really bad. Like, that's just, like, inexcusable to the nth degree. And again, like, I know it's Wednesday, and, like, I'm sure you've said this already, but, dude, just, like, brutal. Like, how do you lose that game? And Rodgers was terrible in the game. Like,
terrible.
That needs to be said, right? Like, he was awful. And he's great. Like, it doesn't mean he's bad, but, I mean, he was terrible.
I'm ready to be done with Rodgers.
I don't know if I necessarily blame. So, like, if he comes back and he's, like, back next year, so you're, like, out on him, like, you won't root for the Packers?
I'll obviously not only root for the Packers, but I'll use some sort of wizard logic to make it seem like I was happy that he came back, right? I'll retcon history. But,
everybody else does, so why not you? Yeah.
It's just so fascinating. And here's what we were talking about this morning. Because Rodgers, it doesn't work. Whatever reason, something's going to happen. He can't come up big. There's three and outs. He's focusing on Devontae last 2 years. Doesn't work. Running it back with Rodgers is like, run it back for what? For more heartbreak? It just doesn't seem to work. And I know that if they moved on from Rodgers, next year would probably be bleak. But then who says that the next year after that has to be bleak or the next year after that? So I just look at something that's not working consistently and saying, well, then let's not do it anymore. It's not working.
Well,
why would we keep doing it?
I'd say this. And obviously, like, you're right to feel the way you feel, and Packers fans that feel that way are certainly right to feel that way. Like, a couple things to consider. Like, number one, like, he has won a Super Bowl. So it hasn't been, like, all heartbreak. I understand it was, like, over a decade ago. But, like, he did win a championship. So, like, it could happen again. Like, it has happened in the past. And the other thing is, like, and I'll just give you, like, my perspective as a Giants fan, and I think older Packer fans will realize this, like, those terrible Packer teams in the 70s and 80s will know, right? Like, imagine being, and look, my team's got a couple chips, right, recently, and, like, beat the Packers on the way both times. But, I mean, like, imagine being a Giants fan the last, like, 5 years, or, like, a fan of a team that never wins or never goes to the championship game. I mean, they're in the playoffs every year. They win the division every year. You own all your rivals. Like, you're there in January every year. Now, look, it hasn't like gone your way, and like we can like play the blame game, right? I thought LaFleur was brutal in the Tampa loss. You know, they got run all over in the Niner loss a couple years ago in the championship game. Like, that kind of was what it was. Like, that team was really flawed. I mean, this is a really bad one, but. I mean, like, they, like, run it back next year, and Bakhtiari's healthier, and, like, they can get him another weapon. Like, I don't know why they can't, like, win the championship next year. Now, maybe we want to say, like, you know, this kind of, like, nebulous idea that, like, quote-unquote, like, Rodgers can't get it done in the clutch. And I understand that because, like, he's been bad recently in these moments. But, like, he also authored, like, one of the great, like, postseason runs we've ever seen for, like, a six seed and a team that had lost more players to injury than, like, any team in the history of the National Football League and, like, killed everyone in the postseason and won the Super Bowl, including the greatest performance ever, which is that divisional round win in Atlanta. So, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of, like, halfway in between here where I acknowledge all of this, but also, like, man, like, it could be a lot worse. Could be a lot worse.
But you still, the Giants have, I mean, is it because the Giants have, like, the Giants have the two Super Bowls in the same amount of time that the Packers do?
Well, I mean, this is an easy one to answer. Like, okay, so let's say from, like, what the Packers won in 96, right, the Super Bowl farm. 96 to now, you could be a Giants fan or a Packers fan. Giants have two rings. They beat the Packers on the way to get there. They beat the Patriots both times. Or you could be the Packers. You beat the Bledsoe Parcells Patriots in 96 and then the Tomlin Steelers in Super Bowl 45. But, like, you have all these heartbreaks along the way that the Giants don't have because they're not in the playoffs. Like, who would you rather be? The team with the two rings that goes to the playoffs every single year or the team with the two rings that makes the playoffs, wins the Super Bowl, and then never makes it again?
Yeah, no, I might rather be the Giants.
No, you wouldn't. Like,
the draft's more exciting.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't want that.
The draft's more exciting. The regular season's more exciting.
No, like, stop. No, I mean, come on. I mean, look, you're welcome to your opinion. I don't think you believe that, though. I mean, like,
I don't think that.
I love my team. You'd rather be a Giants fan than a Packers fan?
No, I'm saying, like, if I'm gonna, like, there's too much heartbreak. There's too much heartbreak to go with the joy. There's too much. All these other teams,
but
you know.
I'd rather. Wouldn't you rather be in the position to have your heart broken than not be in that position?
No, no. I hate that. I hate that. I hate the. We want, like, David Stearns always says this with the Brewers.
Championship, man.
He always says we want as many cracks at it as we can, but you never get there.
But what about the Bucks? The Bucks just won a championship. Like, that just happened.
Yeah, thank God it did, or I would not, I don't know.
Like, they were down 2-0. Like, would you rather them have not, like, if I had told you.
No, I always believed.
Down 2-0 to the Suns. Okay, but why would you believe in the Bucks? Like, they had gotten choked and been horrendous in the playoffs the years before. Like, embarrassed by the Heat a couple times? Like, I don't get that. I don't understand.
Because I am at one with the aura of Wisconsin sports.
Okay.
And I know how we are and what we do. And I did think that this Packers team would actually get it done, which is, it makes me feel really bad. I said we were doing a pregame show before. We were doing a pregame show, obviously, before the game. That's when pregame shows are. And we left it, and I said, you know, if they do lose tonight, think of how many things will have to go wrong. This could be one of the worst nights of our life. And then it happened. But then we were talking about this morning.
It's not as bad as the Bostic game, right?
No,
like that team was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Worse.
That team was the best team.
Yeah.
You think, wait, which was worse?
Oh, Seattle. Way worse.
The Seattle one was worse, too. Also, I bet that I had a huge bet on the Packers to win that game.
Yeah.
The Packers were also, like, by far the best team that season. Whereas, like, I don't think the Packers were the, like, if, let's say the Packers had beaten the Niners, I don't think the Packers were winning the Super Bowl this year, like, either way. And
probably not. You're probably
right. I didn't think this team was, like, the best team. That team was the best team, not to reopen old wounds, but just, like, comparing some of the losses.
Well, I don't think anything can ever go.
That team won the Super Bowl.
I don't think anything can ever come back to 2014 because that Seattle-Bostic game, because part of us died that day. And so no pain for that.
I hate calling that the Bostic game. I hate calling that, because that's the McCarthy game, actually.
No, that's not the Bostic game. Morgan Burnett had an interception, and Julius Peppers' dumbass told him to go down instead of run for more yards to get in field goal.
Yeah, that was bad. But no, the Packers lost that game in the first quarter. Two goal situations inside the two and kicking two field goals instead of trying to go up 14-0 early in the game. You're up 6-0. I thought McCarthy lost that game in the first quarter. Anyway, not to reopen old wounds, but, like, to me, like, that's, like, the benchmark, like, Packers loss in the Rodgers era is that one. Like, this one's bad, but, like, I'm not convinced that they would have even won this week against the Rams.
Well, here's why, like, I could convince myself, and this is probably what I'll end up saying when Rodgers comes back and I have to be, like, using verbal gymnastics to justify why I'm okay with it, is I'll say, well, look at the NFC. The East isn't going to do anything. The West, okay. I mean, I don't think the Rams are going back there. Kyler Murray sucks. The North.
Well, he doesn't suck.
Yeah, he's not good. Brady, I think Brady. I think Brady and Rodgers right now are in like a. I'm not going to retire unless you like. But if you retire, then I'm not retiring. Like if Rodgers retires, Brady's like. Yeah, if Rodgers retires, Brady's like, I got to come back. I mean, the path is there. And if Brady retires.
We're the best team.
Yeah, if Brady retires, then Rodgers is like, well, gee, we're the best team.
So it's kinda, I mean, like, if Rodgers comes back, right, like, play it out a little bit. Like, obviously, like, the number one objective for the Packers this offseason is, like, fixing the special teams, right? I personally think, like, Mason Crosby, great career, like, give him his Rolex and send him off, like, time to go. Like, it's time for, like, a big change with the special teams. So, like, you focus the offseason on that, like, getting the special teams better. You get him another weapon in the passing attack, right? No matter how, where it comes from. So it can't be, like, you know, Dominique Daphne and, like, DeGuara dropping passes, like, ridiculous. Like, he's got to have players that he feels better about, like Bakhtiari back and healthy. Like, the defense is really good. Like, I don't – if he comes back, I don't know why they can't just, like, win 13 games again and, like, be there again next January. And you bring up a great point. Like, all the great young quarterbacks are all in the AFC. Like, Dak's really good. So, like, Dak and the Cowboys will be there, especially if they get rid of your old coach. There's no one in the North. I mean, Fields may be good, but I mean, he's also going to be in year two with the first year head coach, like a new head coach. Who in the NFC South, like they have no young quarterbacks, zero in the NFC South. The West is obviously really good, but we'll see about Russell Wilson this offseason. Like they can come back and be the favorite again next year. Like, and look, and maybe to your point, like it ends in January heartbreak again. But I guess my point is, you know, like I'm a Yankee fan, right? In baseball, people are, oh, you're front row, whatever. No, like I'm a Yankee fan, I'm a Knicks fan, I'm a Giants fan, I'm a Rangers fan. I've loved these teams my whole life. Where like I'm pissed at the Yankees because every year they get there and they go down in like even more cowardly fashion than the Packers do. Not to make this a Yankees thing, but like, would you rather be like a Yankees fan locally or like a Mets fan? The Mets don't get there. Or like, you know, like a team or one of these downtrodden Orioles fans. Like, you'd rather be a Yankees fan. You'd rather be a Packers fan. So I'm just trying to provide a little perspective. Obviously, it sucked what happened on Saturday.
All right, so Sunday now, the first game is Chiefs and Bengals. And, like, the Chiefs hosting four straight AFC Championship games in a row. Is this right? Has Patrick Mahomes never played a road playoff game? Did I hear that right?
Well, obviously, and this is me being like, I hate when people do this, but like, he's played neutral site games, like obviously in a couple Super Bowls, but yeah.
Sure, and I guess the Super Bowl against Tampa was in Tampa, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah. So, I mean, we're arguing semantics. It's a stupid semantic conversation.
But still, I mean, four straight AFC Championship games. I got a hard time thinking that as much as I love and want to take the Bengals, that Kansas City's just not going to pour on the gas.
Well, I mean, we said this on You Better, You Bet, both on the Sunday edition of the show this past weekend after the Bengals had beaten the Titans on Saturday, and also on Friday's edition of the show when we like, kind of like project our point spread. So, like, you know, coming up tomorrow, we'll give you projected point spreads for the Super Bowl, right? So, like, whatever, all the matchups. So we did that last week, and we said if it's going to be Bengals-Chiefs and the number opens less than seven. So, like, when I project, like, make my point spreads for games, I think that the spread should be at least seven, and I think 7.5 is a lot more right than 6.5. So the line opened 6.5, and like I've seen people tweet things like, well, 6.5 is a trap. They're trying to get you to bet the Chiefs. Like, whenever anyone says something like that, like, sprint in the other direction. Like, Vegas doesn't know anything. The people that actually know are the people that are, like, betting lots of money and move the point spread and actually tell Las Vegas, hey, guys, you don't know. We know. Here's what your number should be. So 6.5 comes out at the open and disappears immediately. You know why? Stupid number. Not that the Bengals can or won't win, that they can't cover the spread also, but 6.5 is a terrible number. The number has to be at least 7. It probably needs to be 7.5. So right now the number is a flat 7, meaning that it's basically 7 minus 110, meaning that we're not leaning in any direction towards moving off that number of 7. At the open, I came out and I bet the Chiefs. I'm sitting on Chiefs minus 6.5. So I have to decide what I want to do as the week moves along. If I want to potentially tease Kansas City down, probably teasing the Niners up, and we'll get to that game in a second, and some of the injury concerns with San Francisco. So for me, I would never bet the Bengals. That's not like an anti-Joe Burrow thing. And that's like the other thing is like people want to turn, oh, well, it's Burrow magic. Like, did we watch the game on Saturday against the Titans? Like, Burrow's awesome. I would love him to be my quarterback. I think he's great. Probably going to win a Super Bowl, maybe multiple by the time. Maybe this year. Like, the win against the Titans and even the win against the Raiders had a lot to do with the opposition. Like, they're outgained on a yards-per-play basis in each of the first two games of the postseason. They played two incredibly stupid teams. Like, did we watch those games, the Raiders and Titans games? So, like, yeah, like, they could win, but man, I think the Chiefs are going to lay it on them a little bit here in this game. And as far as the total is concerned, and I'm just looking at Bet Rivers to see what it's sitting at right now, 54.5. So it's been bet up a couple points since the open. Certainly understand that. We think back week 17, Bengals beat them 34-31. So the Bengals do have a head-to-head win, which is another thing people are going to say, oh, they beat them head-to-head. Great, I don't care. Think about Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game. Remember what we said there, where, like, you know, Bama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, and then the point spread moves 4 points from what it was there, and then Georgia beats them in the championship game. Like, it's not that things in the past can't repeat themselves. It's just that it's not, like, completely indicative of what's going to happen. So the total's been bet up here, 54.5, 65 points scored when they played in Week 17. If I had to bet the total, and I haven't yet, I'd actually bet the under, where I think this is a spot, and we saw this last week, Titans sacked Burrow 9 times, where he's the most sacked quarterback in the league. Chiefs have a pretty good pass rush, so you have to think that the Chiefs are going to be able to get at him, right? We have also seen in the first 2 games of the postseason, and basically through a lot of the season as well, especially without Larry Ogunjobi, their big defensive lineman, that the Bengals can be run on. If the Raiders had a brain, they would have run Josh Jacobs the whole game. They averaged 6.4 yards per carry in that game and threw the ball too much with Derek Carr. I think the Titans got bogged down last week running the ball with Derrick Henry too much, who literally has like a George Foreman grill in his foot, as opposed to playing Deontay Foreman, who looks better. So I think the Chiefs are going to keep, like, what did the Chiefs want to do last week against the Bills? We saw this, right? The Chiefs didn't want to get into a shootout last week with Buffalo. They wanted to slow the game down. They were running Jerick McKinnon, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked really good. Like, if you're Kansas City, you can get out of Dodge here, right? Think about it, right? They don't have to get into a 38-35 game with Cincinnati. It's almost like Cincy has to do that to beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs could boa constrictor them and win this game 28-17 and run the ball the whole game, let Mahomes make plays on third downs, and just get at Joe Burrow when they know Burrow has to pass on every down. So I haven't bet it yet, but I would only bet the under, and my only side of choice is Kansas City.
The other one then, the Niners, they've beaten the Rams, what, 6 straight times? So I look at that, and I'm like, oh, the Niners are going to do this, aren't they? But the Niners, I just, like, the Packers lost to a team that I don't think is very good. So I got to take the Rams, don't I?
I mean, if you want to, the free country, sure, you could be right. I bet the Niners +3.5 on Sunday. That's currently the number right now. Here's my thought on it. You know, they played in Week 18. The Rams closed a 3.5-point favorite in that game. And the total was basically the same as what it is right now. It's basically the same side in total. 3.5 and 46.5. The Niners won that game 27-24.
You know, I'll say that felt like that felt like, to me, they could look back at that and say, oh, when Eli and the Giants matched up against the Patriots, we know we can beat them. The Niners have no reason to be scared. But the Niners have no reason to be scared, and they're probably going to have home field advantage in that game.
Well, you would think, and we'll see what the Rams do to try and limit it. Like, I mean, and like to your point, Bart, in case people don't know, like Matthew Stafford was saying he couldn't hear like the play calls coming in at home in Week 18 because there were so many Niners fans there at SoFi in Los Angeles. So, I mean, the Niners, I think this is a game where you assign like as little home field advantage to a playoff team as like maybe like we've ever seen. Like, I mean that seriously. If you think about it, like LA doesn't have a ton of home field to begin with. Be a ton of Niners fans there. It's a quick trip for San Francisco. Also, like San Francisco has a rest advantage here with the Rams playing on Sunday and the Niners playing on Saturday night. But like as far as the number goes, and here's really like because like there's going to be a lot of on-field handicapping to do in this game. I just want to talk about the number for a second. Like I actually think the number in this game should be like 2.5 or 3. Like maybe we could have a conversation about Rams -3. And for people out there that are like, oh, well, you know, like it's 3.5. It's not a huge difference. Like it's a massive difference. Like 3 is the number that gets landed on the most in the NFL. So like, if you want to bet an underdog, you want to bet the Niners here, you want 3.5. So if the Rams win by 3, which is the most likely outcome, like you still win your money. Like you win your bet if that happens. So I think the number should be 3 if Trent Williams is going to have like this uncertainty clouding him all week. And it looks like he's going to. So the two players that came out of the game hurt for San Francisco were Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams. Deebo, arguably like the best pure football player in the league, and Trent Williams, arguably the best left tackle in the league. It looks like Debo's going to be good. If I had to bet, I'd say Trent Williams is going to play, but like there's uncertainty. He may not practice this week. So I think all of those things, in addition to Jimmy Garoppolo clearly not being healthy, I think that's what's pushing this number out to 3.5. I personally think the number is wrong, the same way that I felt that Niners +6 was wrong against the Packers. Just because I was right last week doesn't mean I'll be right this week. But I personally think 3.5 is a bad number in the game. So, like, I grabbed it with San Francisco, but I want to acknowledge, you know, the same way I think I said with you, Bart, last week, that if you bet the Niners now, you are betting on something essentially that you don't have control over, which is like Trent Williams playing in the game, and last week it was Nick Bosa playing in the game, right? Because I think by this point last week, we were confident that Garoppolo was going to end up playing in the game. I think he had a full practice last Tuesday, heading into the game on Saturday. So, like, that's almost what the bet is right now. You think Trent Williams is going to play? I think it's a great bet. If you're uncertain about it, which is fair, maybe you wait a little bit. I think, again, that the right number in this game is 3, and if both of them play, I think it's 2.5. So I like the Niners, and if it ever goes down to 2.5, Niners up in a teaser is great. I actually like the Niners up in a teaser almost regardless here, and I understand that's not the best, like, mathematical bet, up from 3.5 to 9.5, but, man, like, I kind of don't see this being a blowout either way, really. So that's how I'm choosing to play the Niners and Rams. I hope that made sense with the number analysis.
It's great insight now. It's great insight throughout the week. It'll be great insight Sunday morning. BetQL countdown to kickoff show. Nick Kostos, you better you bet. Appreciate you. We'll talk next week about Super Bowl. I don't even know what number it is.
This would be, well, the first one was in 65. So this would be what? 56. The Super Bowl 56.
Well, it would be 55 because famously Super Bowl 32 never happened, where the Packers lost to Denver. Actually, they erased that one from history.
I thought, was that just like a fever dream of John Elway helicoptering down by the goal line? That must have been like, I must have dreamt that.
Yeah, we must have the same dream, weird. All right, Nick, appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah. Also, Mark Shimura, catch the ball guy. Great to be on with you, Bart. Wishing you minimal sweats when he bets. The absolute very best of luck.
All right, see ya. Look at Nick. Nick is a steel trap of information. Oh, I love that guy. 414-799-1250. We could talk to you. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. You want to wager, but you don't have the money to wager? That can be a problem. Well, how about a free contest? Thanks to our friends at BetQL. It's called Giving Props. It is a free-to-play contest at betql.com. For every round of the playoffs, 10 props are posted. So it's a new round of the playoffs. Even if you didn't play yet, you can still play now. And you're fine. It's just a new week, new contest. All you have to do is create an account, make your picks. You got a chance to win $2,000 in weekly winnings. And just by signing up, you're entered into the random grand prize drawing for $10,000. This is all happening at betql.com/props. betql.com/props. KJ. We'll try KJ again. Aloha. What's up?
Hey, hello, my brother. Thanks for taking the call.
Aloha, KJ.
My bad, man. Hey, I want to ask you a question this morning, Bart. I read a piece yesterday, actually this morning, from a couple of Packers beat writers saying that it looks very evident that the Packers may trade Rodgers and Adams, if Nathaniel Hackett becomes the OC and Dan Quinn is going to become
I think you read a report from some blowhard named Jordan Schultz. That guy can't be trusted.
No, I don't know. It was two people. I'm not sure.
No, I think Matt Schneidman of The Athletic put together a trade proposal.
Yeah.
And I think he might have said, the thing about these beat writers, if they come out like, no offense, but offense, I guess. If whatever they come out and say, they don't know. All these guys last summer said, 5% chance Rodgers ever plays for the Packers again. So now I got to believe him this time. Pass.
Well, you know, I get it. So that's what I want to ask you. How much weight are you giving it based on the fact that the Denver Broncos have $46 million of cap space and they're along with other 7 other teams, but the big key here was the fact that Nathaniel Hackett, who Rodgers loves, and so does Adams, along with Luke Getsy, appear to be going to the Broncos.
Look, if I was going to try to come out, like, this is what I would tell you. If I was going to come out and say, God, I want to like speculate on Rodgers and like what's going to happen, I would connect those dots and say, well, Nathaniel Hackett could coach there. They have cap room. Yeah, okay. There was rumors last year. Okay, yeah. You know what? I'd say people are telling me. I mean, take it for what it's worth. You know, I got a source, but I'd say Rodgers likely to Denver, and I would just say that, And then if I was right, I'd look like a genius. And if I was wrong, I'd just say, I told you, I wasn't sure. And these things change. And then there'd be no sweat off my back. That's what these people do.
Yeah, well, you're a genius anyway.
I know.
Bart, along with your last guest, who's that? Nick Costos. That guy was like he was running down the subway ramp or something, man.
He runs a set of bleacher stairs when he's on the phone with us. It's his workout.
Man. He gave me a headache. I had to get off the phone, dude. All right, man. That's all I want to know. You take care. Aloha, my brother. Shout out to my people over in Tonga. They had a bad eruption over there. So
yeah, that's nasty.
There.
That was bad.
Yeah. Okay. Aloha, my brother.
Thanks, KJ.
Okay.
Mahalo, Magalulu, Shagaru.
Do you know about the Nextdoor app, Toby? Are you on this thing?
No, I don't.
It's an app where like neighbors go on, and then it's the worst.
I hate neighbors.
I know. It's like even worse than Facebook. So it's the Nextdoor app, and what it's supposed to do is like help you connect with people in your neighborhood. You don't have to give your address or anything to other people. You just say, I'm a part of this neighborhood, and then if something's going on, then you always wonder. And I think outside of the most popular post is always, hey, did you guys hear, was that fireworks or gunshots? That's always like the number one post on there. There was one guy that posted, hey, there's like some white dusty stuff. Do you think like the ash from the volcano explosion got to Wisconsin? First of all, way to like completely belittle what's going on over there. And second, it was snow. These people are insane. Then I try to fight them, and then I do try to get in fights on here. I tell you, people are like, Bart, you're calmer on Twitter. I'm calmer on Twitter, not calmer in general. I'm just an ass on Nextdoor because I'm like, I gotta scratch that itch. 414-799-1250.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oof. Rahaf. I'm Bart Winkler. Toby Altizer just reacting to the Big Show promo. Have we overrated Matt LaFleur? Maybe. I don't know. I'm interested to hear them chop it up later today. We talked a little Matt LaFleur. Heard from him. The more he says, hey, it was my fault, the more we're going to be like, hey, it was your fault. If I may, though, I know that this wound is fresh. If I may, I would like to, on this Wednesday morning, just for a little bit, I would like to talk about something non-Packer related. That's right. I would like to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement yesterday. And one guy gets in, it's Big Poppy. Barry Bonds, it was his 10th year to try to get in, no. Curt Schilling not in, Roger Clemens not in. Guys that I think when you watched, you thought, oh, these are Hall of Famers. There's PED stuff. Okay. When Toby came back, so Toby was an intern here for a while, and then I don't know where the hell you were. And then now you were with
nowhere.
Me. Yeah. And then you were back here. We did a segment just to like feel each other out on our takes. And we talked about the Hall of Fame. And that's a big one for me. I think all these guys should be in the Hall of Fame. And I needed you to. And you do too. You did. You said it. I'm just stunned that this is how a sport is. Barry Bonds can get all these awards while he plays by the writers, voting him for MVPs and all this stuff. But then when it's time for the Hall of Fame, then it's like, no, we don't like what he did. Joe Ostrowski, you can find him on the Odyssey app. He says, I hate that we have to ask, is Ortiz in because he's likable? Ortiz is very likable. Does that help? Did that help him get in? Would Curt Schilling be in if it wasn't for his outspoken politics? Would Sosa be in if the Cubs were like, yeah, we love you? Because they like just completely forget that he existed. Would Bonds be in? Would Clemens be in? The fact that, and this is what I went back with the Hall of Fame the last time we talked about it, or when we talked about it when Hal Barkish was like, I don't want to vote for Rodgers because he's a jerk. And I said, look, that stuff shouldn't matter. It's about what they do on the field to me. And too often these writers, and that's who it is, it's writers, they have this decision that they don't want to let these guys in. Tom Haudricourt shared his ballot. And he will vote for guys as long as the PED stuff wasn't proven. You know, if you never got suspended for it or anything. So it sounds like he's not going to ever vote for Ryan Braun, even though he covered him for so long. And if there's going to be a Hall of Fame vote for Braun, I mean, it's going to come from guys that covered him, you think closely. But he's got this red line in the sand of, if you were penalized for it, then no. But if you weren't, if it was all just subjective or speculative and not proven, then I can still vote for you. But even that, I mean, that's a nice strategy to have, and I applaud him for coming out and saying it and for having somewhat of a stance. But why should that even be a stance? Shouldn't the stance be, were you good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, and were you not? And Barry Bonds, I mean, you could say it. One argument that people's like, well, he was so good that he took spots away from other guys. And, you know, this is not a 100% issue. I just think that the Hall of Fame is the story of the best players in baseball. And as I keep saying, am I supposed to someday go to the Hall of Fame, walk my son around to teach him about baseball, then go into the car and say, all right, now let me tell you about the all-time hits leader who's not in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you about the all-time Cy Young leader because he's not in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you about the all-time home run leader because he's not in the Hall of Fame either. So I got to go to the Hall of Fame, and then I got to go out in the parking lot and give them the real Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think it can be a little bit insulting to fans, too, to think, we know all the stuff with Barry Bonds. We get all the stuff with Roger Clemens. We get all the stuff with Pete Rose. You can still put them in. Go ahead and tell me the history of baseball. Go ahead and explain it to me, a 23-year-old that understands that for a while there was a lull in baseball. Now explain to me that era without saying there were steroid use. You can't.
Oh, I just say Craig Counsell.
It's part of the history, and you're supposed to use the Hall of Fame as a way to explain the game and show the game and honor the game. Did they do things that were wrong? 100%. But I think when you look at Barry Bonds, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think if you look at his career before he was suspected.
Yeah, put that Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Just
he was
put
a Hall of Fame player.
Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Selig oversaw this. His ass is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think they should be in. Yeah, we agree on that 100%.
Well, it seems like we do not agree with everybody in the room because entering is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Yeah, I'm not here to fight with you two about this, but I just want to clarify something because this was going around social media last night about David Ortiz, and you were saying maybe they like him better or whatever. If you go back and look when that test result or whatever it was that came out on him that said positive, Rob Manfred came out publicly and said that should not be held against him for the Hall of Fame. It's not credible. We're not going to go with that as a credible positive test. And stomped the ground at that point years ago and said, this will not be held against him for the Hall of Fame by the writers because we question the credibility of this test. So that is the reason I believe that he is in. Now, we can all suspect one way or the other if we think he was doing it or not doing it or whatever else. But if Rob Manfred was in this studio right now, that's what his explanation would be of why he's probably in versus Bonds and Clemens and so forth going forward. So I don't think it's a likability factor. They were told by Manfred that should not be held against him, and they voted as such.
It's just weird that in baseball, like PEDs are, like people care about them in baseball, but no other sport is going to keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I don't know. Who are the PED guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they're all doing something.
But who are they?
I don't know.
Toby, who are the guys that are the PED
Sparky,
guys?
Sparky, can
in
I be honest with you? I came into this segment expecting to do an echo chamber with Toby. I didn't think I'd have to argue my point with anyone that disagreed.
I'm not disagreeing.
Because I wasn't going to read any tweets or take calls.
I'm just asking.
But I don't know. I don't have the information.
I'm just asking.
I did not study for this.
Yes. I don't know.
I just decided to bitch for 5 minutes.
Do we know that there are Caleb Williams or who those guys are that failed PED tests or roids or whatever else that are in the NFL?
No.
Well, okay,
in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And remember, those are separate entities. Pro Football Hall of Fame, NFL, separate entities.
Is Sean Payton a Hall of Fame head coach?
Oh, so I'm going to say yes, and then what about Bountygate? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be things in other sports, maybe not steroids, that are going to be a part of it.
Is Aaron Rodgers a Hall of Famer? Because I've never seen anybody choke harder in bigger spots.
And on that, I'll leave.
I mean, so what... What
it, took
to
that,
do?
It took that to get Sparky
no,
out
hey,
of here.
Hey, are the Badgers getting Caleb Williams? Is that a real thing? That can't be a real thing.
I'm trying to get the guy on. Jerry Hamilton is his name. Used to be with ESPN. He was the one yesterday that said that Wisconsin's in it with LSU and USC. And then another guy came in and said he thinks it's going to end up being Wisconsin. There's a lot of thought Russell Wilson's involved in this. And that's the deal.
I saw a lot of people saying that Craig Culver's got the biggest NIL of all time.
Yeah, right.
That Culver's going to buy this kid.
But this is the thing, is apparently his dad's hot to trot about who's going to make him the best player ready to go play in the NFL. Who's going to have him the most NFL ready, right? So I think that part of it. And if Russell Wilson can sell this dude on, hey, Paul Chris got me ready. You saw what I've done in the NFL. He's your guy. He'll take care of you for 2 years. Because we're talking 2 years. They're projecting this kid is the number one overall pick in the 2024 draft right now. So, I mean, this is legit game changer if they end up with this dude. And he's got a stud running back waiting for him. And there's a million people in the transfer portal. You're telling me wide receivers aren't going to want to come play with this kid? Please. It changes everything for Wisconsin. God. I'll take it a step further. If they get Caleb Williams, they're in the playoff.
Absolutely they are.
They're in the playoff. That's done.
If he comes to Wisconsin, it's no longer Big Ten title. It's national title.
Yes, that's all it is. Correct, yes. With Jim Leonard's defense and a legit quarterback, a legit running back, they're going to add a couple of wide receivers probably. Oh, man. Woo-hoo! It probably won't happen, but we can be excited.
But I'm still holding out hope for Graham Mertz.
He transfers, right?
Well, yeah, if Caleb comes.
He's got to go.
Yeah, because they got that other kid.
I think he goes home to Kansas to Leipold.
Go to Kansas.
Yeah, go home.
I like rooting for Kansas.
Yeah, there you go.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. Because that would be very – toodles to you too, Sparky. That would be very interesting and exciting. I know people kept saying those rumors, but then now there's like a little more concrete rumors.
There's a little more smoke.
A little more smoke to that fire. How about this? Let's get Caleb Williams and then – that completely changes my opinion of Russell Wilson, because I've always said, Russell, you're not a true Badger. You know, you suck. But then if he gets Caleb Williams here, well, then, Russ, why don't you come play for Green Bay?
I thought it was funny. I saw a tweet today saying Pete Carroll came, you know, the last coach to win a title at USC, and then Russell Wilson played with Pete Carroll, and then everything went to USC, and instead Russell Wilson's going to try and get Caleb Williams to go to Wisconsin.
Ooh, that would be something. That would be something indeed. 414-799-1250. More coming up on Bart. That's Toby here on The Fan. 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. Cold day in the state of Wisconsin. Would have been another nice and cold weekend. Up in Green Bay. Not like it would have helped us. Live in the Lakeland University studios. Online learning, 7 locations throughout the state. You can learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. Talk briefly about the Hall of Fame voting. David Ortiz is in, which I still can't believe. I was told all he can do is hit by a friend of mine years ago. We're going to talk more about that. But I don't even know if I want to, Toby, to be honest with you. Because Rami and I was on a show yesterday and we were fighting about something. I just feel like Rami and I have never been more off the same page.
Rami was attacking my takes yesterday because I said something about the Baseball Hall of Fame on Twitter, and he said I've been hanging around you too much.
Yeah, well, I like the Hall of Fame. I like when guys get in. I think it should tell the history, and I think these guys are good enough to get in. And yeah, so they did a little squirt, squirt, bleep, bleep. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the way the game was.
That whole era, has people that did that. And was it right? No, but I feel like maybe build their own wing, put an asterisk next to it, or just have educated fans that understand, yeah, A-Rod's in the Hall of Fame. He was a good baseball player. There's controversy with that. We understand that.
Well, ultimately, to me, it's not about the PEDs. It's about who is the power. That's where it is for me. It's about who is the power to put these guys into the Hall of Fame. It's that this is being decided by writers who, again, thought they were good enough and deserving enough of these Cy Youngs and MVPs when they were playing. But now they're trying to be like this gatekeeper of history. Like I said with Hub Arkish and Aaron Rodgers, they're trying to be St. Peter. Like, do you get in? Can you get into these gates? It's my decision now. And I don't like that they hold that much power. Who else would do it? I don't know. But you can't tell me that a Hall of Fame voter doesn't get a little like, they just, it's just, we don't, we just need, like, how many Hall of Fame voters are there? 150 or something? I don't know. We just need like 150 people to just confirm who was good. And you guys watch the most, so just confirm who was good. But instead, everyone's like, what should I do with my Hall of Fame vote? I am so wise and powerful. And so that's what I don't like.
I finally thought of one of the PEDs or HGH people that got into another Hall of Fame.
Who?
Your boy Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. What did he do?
Remember, he was coming back from that neck injury, and he just had HGH stuff show up at his door, but it was for his wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about this? I got some more for you as we're talking here. Other people in Hall of Fame that were accused, or we know that they did stuff that they shouldn't have. How about, let's see here. How about Goldberg? How about Diamond Dallas Page? How about Macho Man? How about, you know, see where I'm going here? How about Booker T? A lot of those guys in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know who's also in the Hall of Fame? Bob Uecker. It's his birthday today. It's Bob Uecker's birthday.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Today, congratulations for making it another year around the sun for Bob Uecker.
How about that one, folks?
So the guy that we should argue with the Hall of Fame is tomorrow is Rami Makhlouf, who I'm just, again, not on the same page with at all. This Josh Allen thing where he doesn't think Josh Allen is like a top 10 quarterback. Top 5 is where I would go, but he won't even go top 10. But then as I was on his show yesterday, he was excited to tell me his new quarterback rankings.
Yeah, I want to hear your quarterback rankings too, because I think I would probably have Allen close to the top 5. I don't know. I'd have to map it out, but I think he's close to my
mine right now. Like, what is the ranking? Like, best in the league, best to win a game?
Yeah, I mean, what's Rami's criteria?
He said best to win a game.
So, like, best to win right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear Rami's, and then we'll come up with ours.
Well, I want to tell you mine first.
Okay.
And then we'll hear his stupid ones. I don't know, Mahomes, Josh Allen. This isn't like in a soft order.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Josh Allen. I'll say Joe Burrow. Rodgers is still in there, despite in the playoffs. Brady, I mean.
Yeah, I think mine would have to be Mahomes, Brady, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers.
I wouldn't forget about Lamar. He's been hurt. I wouldn't forget about Lamar.
Yeah, I would. He'd probably be in my top 4, because I think I'd take him ahead of Joe Burrow. And I understand that Joe Burrow's been magic, but you tell me that Joe Burrow or Josh Allen easily won that game against the Titans?
Josh Allen is minimum top 3 to me. Minimum top 4. If you want to put Brady and Rodgers
in. Yeah, I'd take Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes first, and then probably Josh Allen at 4.
But who else could have matched what Mahomes was doing on Sunday? Josh Allen.
Yeah, it was a unique game, and they went toe-to-toe, so I think you got to have Josh Allen in there, and I want to hear what Rami
If you love Mahomes and think he's at the top, there's no better proof of who's his contemporary than Josh Allen, what he did on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. No, and I texted my buddy right away. I said, this Allen versus Mahomes is going to turn into Brady versus Manning.
They both led their team in rushing as well.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous stat. All right, here's Rami's list from yesterday. He was so proud to tell me because he said Josh Allen moved up in the list.
Number one on my list, and this could change before the end of this playoff run, Aaron Rodgers is still number one on my list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now who I'd take to win a game today. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. Number three is Tom Brady. 4, Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson, number 5.
Russell Wilson.
Yes, Russell Wilson. Coming in at number 6, a man who didn't give a damn that you sacked him 9 times. He said, give me that football and let me throw some touchdowns. Joey Burrow. Number 7, Matthew Stafford.
All right, I got to go.
I said the same thing, Bart.
I think Russell Wilson's one thing, but Matt.
Is this for just this season or their entire careers?
Number 7.
No, he said to win a game right now. He just watched Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes go back-to-back, yet Aaron Rodgers is one on his list. Rodgers would have tapped out of that game by the 3rd quarter. He can't keep up. I'm leaving.
Number 7 will be Herbert. Of the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm legit hanging out.
Number 8, Dak Prescott.
Holy, are you kidding me?
Coming in at
number 9,
Kyler Murray.
Oh, now I'm out.
And there's your guy, Josh Allen. Number 10, I moved him ahead of Derek Carr. You were so upset about the Derek Carr thing. I moved him ahead of Derek Carr for you.
I hate you so much.
Then he hung up. He's gone. I moved him ahead of Derek Carr.
That's such a stupid list, dude.
I moved him
to win a game.
I moved him up a spot.
To win a game. You're going to take Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott.
He really hung up. I moved him up a spot because of his performance on Sunday.
Dude, Dak's 28 years old.
You guys are very emotional. It's the Rami Show.
You're just wrong.
12:50 a.m. The Fan and your Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm going to debate. You're just
you really hung up on me.
I think you're right.
Well, we're very late. Very late for a break.
It doesn't matter. You're wrong.
Just hung up on me. It's rude.
Yeah, I'm not digging Rami's whole jive right now.
Kyler Murray?
He's calling people emotional. He's saying people react too much.
Kyler Murray?
This guy watches football.
Lamar Jackson?
Week. This guy was our host for a fantasy football show for like 10 years.
Kyler Murray over Josh Allen.
It's unbelievable. It's got to be a joke.
Kyler Murray's not even a top 10 QB. I don't even know if that's... I think that's like general consensus. Fantasy, if you want, sure, he's good in fantasy. He's not good in actual football. Dak Prescott, what? Over Josh Allen?
So what Rami would say is what he saw from Sunday was enough to finally put Josh Allen over Derek Carr.
Well, Derek Carr hasn't won a playoff game yet.
I don't even get it. I don't even get it. I don't understand it. It's got to be fake. And he says, well, why would I do it? Why would I do it for the good of my show? I don't know. What Rami's doing, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get anything he's talking about. I don't even think that he's trying to like Skip Bayless troll. I think his brain is broken.
Yeah, no, I think he truly
something's wrong with him.
He truly believes what he's standing by, and I appreciate Rami, and I usually agree with his takes, and I respect what he has to say. I totally disagree with anything he has to say about Josh Allen.
Something is seriously wrong with Rami. I know when like Gary Ellerson has a bad take. People say, oh, he played football, CTE, as a joke, but maybe, I don't know. Should we joke about that?
No.
But then, Rami, like, what's Rami's excuse?
He's a Bears fan.
Rami's got CTE, only the C stands for cannabis. That's what I'm saying. Jeez. How stupid can you be? Like, how stupid can one person be?
Again, I appreciate Rami for sticking to something, but man, at some point you just got to give it up. And the sad part is, like you said, I think he truly believes
it. But
he
won't give it up, and then he'll yell at you for thinking that he's wrong because then we're being emotional.
And then, like you said, you yell at him and he wins the argument because
you're just
getting way too emotional about this.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to talk here.
Yeah, the key to winning a debate is get the other guy to get emotional because then it like discredits their whole argument. Because if they can't argue calmly, they're arguing incorrectly. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow at this time, tomorrow at 9. I can't even believe it. More coming up. Am I being stupid? That's a question I want to ask you guys. Am I being stupid and naive about the Packers' next 15 years? More straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.